part 2, verse 4. So the next one is, there is no destruction for me from the standpoint of anyaha, another. No one else can destroy me either. I can't destroy myself, nor can anyone else destroy me. Okay. So, why? So it goes, me vinashaha syat, there is no destruction for me from another, that cha, and there is no destruction for me anyataha from another. Why? Niramshatvat. Because I have no amshas, because I have no parts, right? An amsha is a part. Like my hands are an amsha, my fingers are an amsha. Any part. So I can say this whole body is nothing but smaller and smaller parts, amshas. My mind also, all of my thoughts and all of are can be differentiated for one. From one another, we know if there's four basic amshas for the mind, you know, the chitta, the memory, and then the manas, the fluctuating mind, the buddhi, the mind where there's clarity, and then the ahankara. Those are all amshas. So amshas are kind of infinitely divisible. Atma has no amshas. Right? In fact, the Atma, which is Brahman, is the only thing that has no amshas, because it is the only thing that is free from time and space. We say space itself is an amsha. It is one of the five elements. Space is never just by itself. Like if you think of when you have an imagination, space is there in the imagination along with the other five elements and elementals. It doesn't stand alone, right? It stands as a part of the universe, space, air, fire, water, earth. Similarly, in the dream, when the dream becomes manifest, space is an amsha of the five, in the sense that it's one of the five elements, even though itself is not divisible. Right? You can't cut space. Or you say this is room space, but in fact, it's not room space. Right? That's just the room is an upadi for the space. There's no way to divide space. So space is. Space is the closest thing that we have to Brahman in terms of being able to use it as a drishtanta, which we use space as a drishtanta for the subtlety of Brahman, that everything exists within Brahman, Brahman itself not being divided or cut by anything else. So space is an amsha for that. Like that Surya, the sun, space is a drishtanta for that. Like Surya, the sun, is a drishtanta for being self-luminous. The sun never requires something else to come and light it up, right? Because of it, everything is lit. So even though it has its limitations because it exists within duality, still it's a beautiful example that we use space and the sun. So here, the Atma, this yourself, cannot have any parts for many reasons, but perhaps the most the best and the most clear reason is that space and time itself are objectifiable, and I can be without both. For instance, in terms of experience, even in the deep sleep, there is no experience of space, there is no experience of time. Time is very relative, right? For there to be time, such a thing as time, there must be change. Without change, there's no time, right? So time, in a sense, is marking change. So the change, for there to be change, there has to be amshas. There has to be duality. If there has to be duality, there has to be space. So time and space, or time, space, change, all kind of go together in a nice little bow, right? But the Atma is not something that can be objectified, right? It's not possible to objectify the Atma, because who's objectifying it then? And it has no amshas. If it has an amsha, then it would exist within time and space, and we could objectify it. We could objectify the Atma if it had amshas, if it had parts. Because if it had parts, it would exist within time and space, right? And then we have no problem. But the Atma is not an object that exists within time and space. And so even though within duality, as we'll see in the next verse, within duality, you know, Space is the greatest drishtanta for something that cannot be cut or hurt or dampened or burned, as we'll see in the next verse, you know. But space, you know, can be withdrawn. Right? Space can go into unmanifest condition, which is an interesting thing about space. And it has an umption that it's one of the five elements. But the Atma has no umsha because it's simply because it's not objectifiable. And space and time are something which are objectified and come and go in it. So it says, I can't be hurt by another, right? Because I have no umshas. I have no parts. And even you can say, well, if I have no parts, just like space itself can't be cut. But it's even more than that. I have no parts, and I'm not objectifiable. So the next verse, which we'll do in the next class, fits into this really, really nicely. Then the last one is, there is no destruction for me by an ashraya. Ashraya vinashat, because by the destruction, the vinasha of an ashraya, of something which supports me, because for me there is no ashraya. Again, an ashraya requires duality. That means there's something that is supporting me, right? That's two. So if there's something that's supporting me, if I remove the support or something that I depend upon, if I remove that thing that I depended on, that would remove me, that would kill me. And so the obvious example for it is this body may not be me. I may be indwelling the body, but then what happens if the body is destroyed? Because I depend on this body for my being, for my life. So this body, if this body is an ashraya, a support for the Atma, if I destroy it, then I'll be destroyed, you know? And so here, then again, what has amshas, which is nothing but amshas, everything within the creation that is objectified, can be an ashraya for something, right, within duality. But what is going to be an ashraya for non-objectifiable consciousness? If there was something in front of it or behind it or to either side of it, consciousness exists within duality, right? Because there's two. But for the Atma, there is nothing behind me, right? Nor is there anything in front of me, which is another really important recognition. Recognition to be appreciated again and again, I think, in Nididhyasana. And then just in what I would say waking meditation, those moments of self-reflection, where you recognize over and over and over again, right, that any experience that you have doesn't touch you in any way. It's more than that. It not only doesn't touch you, you don't even know about it. The Atma, from its own standpoint, is just pure conscious being, me. Okay? So here I am, right now, the most personal me, that whether makes me me, here I am. And if you just self-reflect for a moment, nothing is happening to me, nor am I engaged in any type of activity. I am not seeing, I am not hearing. Oh, I'm not seeing, I'm not hearing. She just, okay, so. We'll do in our meditation, I'll remember to do this, but to see over and over again that it's not that there's nothing in back of me or to the sides of me. From my standpoint, there's nothing in front of me either. The Atma is not a knower. To be a knower, it requires the upadhi to be there. For a thought to be known, the thought has to be there, right? For the perception to be known, the perception has to be there. If you take away the perception, then what is the Atma doing? It's not doing anything. Does it? You take away the thought? Oh, don't take away the thought, you know? That's the thought itself. So yourself is just me, this very personal me that is not really engaged in the creation. It's very engaged in the creation only from the standpoint of the creation, not from the standpoint of itself. Right? And so I am cannot be perturbed by the creation. My wholeness is a given. And I don't feel alone because my swarupa, my nature, is such an ananda. I am the very wholeness that the whole creation buzzes around. I'm the makaranda, the Advaita makaranda. I'm the very makaranda of the creation, the honey of the creation, which happens to be Advaita. And so I am that which does not lack anything. So any experience of wholeness, of freedom from lack, is my own being. Right? It's not coming from here. It's not coming from these amshas or from mitya, which has no being of its own. The makaranda is the Advaita of my own self. And myself, this whole creation is a mitya, a natural, infinite expression of the Satchitananda of my being. But it is mitya. It is like a shadow, in the sense, you know, if you're walking along, your shadow can't do anything to you, but it belongs to you. It's your shadow. This is my creation. This creation is an expression of my being. So have jnana means let it be an expression of the Atma. Let it be an expression of me, instead of being a jiva within that. That's why Krishna got so freaked out in chapter 11, because he hadn't really gained knowledge yet, and when he wanted to see the whole Vishwasarupa, Bhagavan's form, he thought he was still identified as a jiva within that form, and he was terrified, you know. But if that's your form, you're not terrified because it's you. It's just like, say you have a dream, that whole beautiful dream is an expression of your being. You don't have to have an upadhi in it. Right? You don't have to be a body, mind, sense organs in that dream. It's an expression. So think of the creation as an expression of infinite knowledge. It's a manifestation of infinite knowledge. That's what we call Ishvara. The manifestation of infinite knowledge. That gets away this kind of physicality of Ishvara. It says the Virat and Hiranyagarbha, like there's this corporal world, and then there's Hiranyagarbha, the Sukshma Sharira within it. No. Within the universe, we make these distinctions, but the universe itself is one expression of infinite knowledge. Just like if you have an imagination, you have the subtle and gross within the imagination. Right? If you have a dream, there's the subtle and gross within the dream. But the dream material is just maya. Sattva, rajas, and tamas, maya. These distinctions that we make are useful from within the dream, from within maya. But from the standpoint of the self, this whole creation is just a display of a beautiful display of the nature of the self. So, that's it. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurupyo Namaha Harihi Om.